And a Merry Christmas to you, Peter Lynham.
Yes, indeed, and to you both. Yes, very much so.
And to all a good night.
Yeah. But before we get to good night,
kind of thing. Yeah.
I think one of the most intriguing things about Christmas is that Christmas is laden down with customs, with traditions. And yet, I mean, the thing for me like a historian is about how these traditions come to be.
Yes.
And especially how they are often, the tradition is completely invented.
Are you talking about like in a commercial sense, or are you talking about in like a...
Well, it can be
like
commercial,
the reindeer eat mushrooms and they can magically fly kind of sense.
Yes, that could be, you know, a contemporary example. Mm. But, I mean, everybody knows the story of how Santa Claus used to be in red and green, but Coca-Cola turned him into a red Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's a very obvious example of the way in which tradition has kind of developed. But, you know, some of them are really very, very recent developments. I mean, I can recall as a boy, admittedly, I'm extremely old, but but I as a child, I called him Father Christmas.
Yes.
Rather than Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what, in like a kind of priestly zone, or what type of father are we talking about? Just like old man?
No, I think, you see, there was this, that during the 19th and 20th centuries, the Saint Nicholas slowly merged with quite a different tradition of the Father Christmas, who was the old traditional Yule blessing God that was common in English tradition, whereas Saint Nicholas was much more common, for example, in the Dutch tradition.
Sinterklaas.
I kind of forgot about Saint Nicholas, actually.
Well, he hasn't forgotten about you, John, you know, and all you need to do is believe, please.
But which night would you sleep for the gifts? Because there's an interesting question too.
What about Boxing Day? Nobody's doing Boxing Day. That is a day that nobody is observing.
Yeah, well, certainly not the opening of the boxes to give gifts to the poor.
Right on.
We don't even think about it. But that was certainly part of the tradition that by Christmas Day, the gift boxes for the year would be full, and so that unravel them and distribute the goods to the poor on Boxing Day.
Can I give a tiny plug here to anyone out there listening?
It is a good opportunity
to go and donate some food, canned food, to the Auckland City Mission. If you have the opportunity to do so, I think you should do it.
Can I also just say, though, let's be honest, the notion that it is more fun to give than to receive is a complete lie. That is not true.
It is very hard to give. It is extremely hard to give. It's very interesting that the trouble is that you mostly want the things that you bought to give to others.
Oh, that's a classic one, eh? Well, like when you sell a car and you just get it in real good nick when you're selling it and you're like, damn.
Yeah, suddenly it seems desirable again. So the intriguing thing is that there's quite a lot of debate about where the whole idea of giving gifts at Christmas came from. Because, I mean, as we saw last week, Christmas Day didn't really have a fixed date until the 5th century. They might have picked it up from the Saturnalia traditions of the Romans, which did give gifts as midwinter presents. Maybe so. That could have been the origin. People who connected with the three wise men. Well, this is a lovely idea. But
they brought some stuff, didn't they?
They did bring their gifts. But on the other hand, if that was the case, we would give gifts on the 12th night of Christmas, and that's not been a strong tradition.
Is it? Is it because
the Dutch give presents, don't they, in 5th of December?
Oh, it is a weird. Yeah, it is. It's a little bit early. I remember it being a little bit early, and I was like, yes, this is a great tradition. Let's go for it.
I can't wait to get mine, so this suits me.
And then next thing, all the little kids are doing blackface and kind of dressing up in little carnival outfits, and I was like, damn it, there's always a catch.
You know? Yes, yeah. Well, certainly I think there the connection between St. Nicholas and gift-giving. But St. Nicholas's gift day was on the 7th of December or something like that. And so that was the day to give gifts. And since the Christmas tree, you know, didn't really develop in the British tradition until Queen Victoria, and about that time, people began following.
Where does it come from? Why?
Everything is so crazy when you just sort of
like, why is there a tree? Why does everyone cut down a tree and put it in their house?
Also, have we run out of cool ideas for Christmas? Should we try and invent another sort of crazy one that we just pick up?
Oh, I think that there are new traditions developing all the time. Okay. I mean, for example, I mean, initially, the Christmas tree wasn't regarded as a thing to hang gifts on,
right,
or to put gifts under, because you had the Christmas stockings. But what's happened, of course, is that we've upsized Christmas presents, and the upsizing of Christmas presents makes it completely impractical to put them in stockings, and hence they sit under the tree.
I think there should be a tradition of burning the Christmas tree after Christmas.
The Christmas tree arose from the Yuletide log anyway, and so the Yuletide log was a way in which you kept warm in Germanic lands. But I don't know that there was a particular tradition of burning in... Again, it depends which part of Europe you're talking about.
Well, I'm just more like, what do I do with the tree, Peter? You know, nobody knows what to do with that Christmas tree once you're done with it.
Well, I know what they do with it at the moment. They sit them out in the middle of the street and wait and hope somebody will take them away. But that's the New Zealand custom. That's our contribution.
That might be a little market for someone, actually, the removal of Christmas trees rather than trying to sell them. Someone
should
get into it. Man with a van type thing. Or woman, actually, guys.
Than fading pine trees, although you can always have one of these electronic ones, you know, that you could just store away for next year.
Yes.
Where?
I think someone's actually figured out which is best or worst for the environment, and I think that one is the better one, rather than just...
reusable plastic one.
Yeah, I think it is long-term.
Unfortunately, even though they're quite disgraceful and disgusting, they are practical, and that's just like... style that I have. I just have a permanent Christmas corner in which everything is jammed until it's required to the new year.
I'd rather a Christmas tree with sort of a new car smell than actual Christmas tree smell.
I mean, I think a distinctive aspect that the most recent generation has given to Christmas has been the trade me market in undesired Christmas presents.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is truly astounding the way in which presents have suddenly been required to be useful or attractive or desirable. And, I mean, initially, until the Industrial Revolution, they would have been handmade or they would have been edible. And it's really only the introduction of cheap manufacturing and more since plastic became available that you get this endless production of vast consumer goods and, of course, all the legacy that goes with it.
Landfill presents.
That's right.
But also it's the thing where you've got to catch up with that cousin or uncle that you just never see, but you can't come in empty-handed. And you don't give everyone alcohol, so you've got to get them a little laser pointer. You know, it is what it is.
Yes. And so that we go searching endlessly through the shops looking for something that's a bit different and doesn't cost too much, but looks like it costs more.
We'll just last until next Christmas, really.
And so that is part of the bizarre aspect that shows up our values, really.
Really, you're right. That's exactly true, I reckon.
Peter, another Christmas, I don't know if this is a tradition or not, but it's just sprung to mind. My grandmother used to bake Christmas cake, but inside the cake, she would have baked in
money.
Some coins.
Yeah, my grandma did that too. Gold
no,
coins.
No. It was not Christmas cake. It was Christmas pudding.
Christmas pudding.
My grandma did it with cake, though. But...
Oh, well, I mean, the tradition very strongly said it would be Christmas pudding.
Okay. Well, Peter Linemar's tradition is a thing that is handed down, and that came from my grandma, so that's my tradition, actually.
But then I mean, the Christmas pudding is really out of fashion in New Zealand because it is so heavy and stodgy.
It's extra heavy if it's got coins in it, and just dangerous, if you think about it. Everyone's got to know what's going on with that game.
Well, in the old days, of course, they used to be pennies that were put in.
Oh, pennies.
And you couldn't swallow them because they were so enormous, these pennies.
Like 50 cent pieces, big. Mm. The old
Yeah, that's
old
right.
Ones.
Everything else is just a little bit
too
easy.
John really likes pennies. I didn't know. He's going crazy over pennies right now.
pennies, of course, are worth a fortune today. So if you stack them away when you dug them out of the Christmas pudding, or the Christmas cake, if you like, there we are. Customs can vary. No doubt there are some cultures where, and maybe your family's represented a different culture than
mine.
Thank
you. Thank you for observing my grandma's cake.
Yes. I do not want to offend your grandmother. That could be very unwise.
No, you can't. She's our case.
But you see, again, there's this aspect where Christmas is a reaffirmation of family connection at a time when actually that's not the easiest thing to do because so many families have got, you know, broken bits in them, and you really don't know how to duck your way around those problems so that all of these instructions that we've seen so many over the last few weeks about how to not talk about COVID on Christmas dinner and bring the whole thing to a grinding halt.
What about cheers to Christmas for just making the family get together, though, as well? You know? Like, that's a cool thing.
Well, of course, in, say, in America, Thanksgiving would be the time when that would happen.
True.
And so we don't really have that kind of strong sense of compulsion to bring the family back together.
Mm. On a complete country scale, anyway. And I guess that aligns with the holidays, so there's just that extra reason to do it, right?
Yes, no, I think you're right. I think that the real problem is that in our kind of culture, we're in summer and we're going to be going away for on holiday. Mm. So it's too difficult to come together in these circumstances.
Sometimes.
But I do wonder whether also the family is...
That was Mitt.
That wasn't us, was it? That was him. Shall we phone him back?
Stay tuned for what Peter Lynham was going to say about the family. Maybe it was just heaps of swear words. Maybe he was like, you got